have a seat. Well, good evening and welcome to Next Level Church. If this is your first time with us, I want to make sure that you get something because we did something which in my mind is huge. For the month of June, we are trying to raise soap to send off to a needy nation to help prevent disease and ultimately death. And we had a goal of 1,000 bars of soap. Now, you need to understand, we're a church of averaging about 120. So including babies and kids, there's about 120, and our goal was 1,000 bars of soap. And we haven't even finished counting because some of you guys came a little bit late. But the last number I got was over 1,300 bars of soap. That's pretty awesome. That's really cool. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys got that you heard. I love your generosity. This is who we are as a church. We are going to make a difference in this world, and I love that you guys are willing to do that, so thank you for that. If you are a kid in first through fifth grade, though, it's your time to go to Next Level Kids. Head on out and follow the incredibly good-looking Justin Bieber getting his dance on back there. Give it up for Justin Bieber. Yeah. And if you're a parent and you haven't checked in your kid yet, you can follow them back to check in your kid for safety reasons. Check them in, and we'll be good to go. But so excited and love that our kids can go to their own environment and hear a talk that is on their level, and so they're not bored with my talk that's not on their level. But I am really excited for you guys to be here. We are continuing our series entitled Supermen and the People That Love Them. And if you missed last week, let me catch you up to speed. This is a series where we're going through the life of Samson. Samson is an Old Testament biblical hero of sorts. He was created and for a specific purpose. And last week we looked at his start, and his start, the way that his birth and the things that surrounded his birth, it was something straight out of a comic book. It was miraculous. It was amazing. And before he was even born, an angel of the Lord appeared to his mom and said that Samson was coming on this earth for a specific purpose. And his purpose was to help Israel overcome the dreaded Philistines. Dun, dun, dun. They're the enemy of this story. He was to help them overcome it to establish God's kingdom. That was his purpose. And we talked about that last week, and the question that I left you with was, what is your purpose in this world? Before we can dive in and look at the next chapter of Samson's life, I got to make sure that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, what your purpose is. Because I think that your purpose is going to help you make decisions in this world. I think your purpose is going to help give you a reason to get up in the morning. You are not just here by random chance. God has given you a specific purpose. One of my all-time favorite superheroes is Superman, and Superman has a specific purpose in this world. His purpose is truth, justice, and the American way. Superman makes decisions based off of his purpose. There are some times when he has to make a hard call, a call that is not popular with the rest of the culture because he's so focused on his purpose. And so the question for you is, what is your purpose? Why did God create you? Why are you here on this earth? Before we go diving into Samson's life, let's look at another verse that I think is going to help us understand what our purpose is. This is from the New Testament. This is Paul. Paul writes, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his," what's that last word? Purpose. Okay, I felt like only two people answered. Now I want you to say it with like some conviction, like you're awake and you're alive. On the count of three, we're all going to say purpose, and you're going to blow me away with this. Okay, one, two, three. That was much better. I appreciate that. Okay, this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that in everything, in every situation, whether you had a great week this week or you had a bad week this week, whether you're in a job that you love or a job that you hate, in every situation, whether your health, you had a health scare and you're like, man, I don't know if I'm going to survive this, whether you're financially stressed, no matter what your situation is, in all things, God works to the good of those who love him according to his, what was that word? Purpose. Your purpose in life is God's purpose. And I've come up with a definition. This isn't one that the Bible gave me. This is just one that I wrote, okay? So you can throw it out, you can dismiss it, or you can write it down. This is what your purpose is. It's going to come on the screen. Your purpose equals glorifying God. That is your purpose in this world. This is why you exist. Some of you could tweet that. Some of you could go to your notes on your iPhone and just write that sentence down, because I just told you this is why you exist, and you, no one's even writing this down. You guys don't even care. This is huge. Like, your purpose in this world, like, is up there on the screen. This is better than a lotto ticket. This should give you hope and meaning and still no one cares, so I'm just going to keep going. Your purpose equals glorifying God. Now, let me make sure that you get that, okay? Because right now it's just words, but let me make sure you understand what that says. Your purpose equals glorifying God. That means that no matter what happens in your life, your purpose is to make God famous. Now, if you had an awful week this week, your purpose in that awfulness is to make God famous. If you had an amazing week this week, if you were hitting on all cylinders and you were just hitting home runs and you're like, you're in your sweet spot, your purpose for all that is to glorify God. Let me give you some practical examples just to make sure you guys are tracking with me. How many of you guys are familiar with the singer Kelly Clarkson? Raise your hand if you know who that is. Yeah, one guy loves her. I love that. All right, Kelly Clarkson. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but why did God bless Kelly Clarkson with such an amazing voice? And I don't even know if you think she has an amazing voice, but I think that girl can flat out blow. Like, she is an incredible singer, and I find myself quite often turning up her songs when they come on the radio. Don't judge me. I'm not too proud to admit I like Kelly Clarkson. That girl can sing. Now, why did God bless her with that amazing voice? Why did he do it? Like, is it just to make her famous, or is there something else going on there? There were times when her second CD, Breakaway, came out, and that song, Since You've Been Gone, when it would come on the radio, like, I would turn it up really loud, and I would sing at the top of my lungs. Now, in my mind, I was sounding just like Kelly Clarkson. I could hang with her. But if you were to turn off the radio, like, it was awful. Like, God wired her to sing. Some of you, you should never sing in a place where people could hear you. God did not wire you to sing. But Kelly Clarkson can flat out sing. And I need to make this point because I don't think some of you appreciate Kelly Clarkson and her amazingness. So I want to play you a clip from one of my favorite Kelly Clarkson songs. Check this out. Now, there is a great chance that if you've heard that song multiple times, you get lost in all the drums and the guitars. But that girl is straight wailing. Like, when she gets to that part and she's like, she's already said, like, I get what I want. But then she, like, takes it up to another octave. She's like, I get what I want. Like, try to sing along with her. You can't do it. God did not wire you to sing like Kelly Clarkson. But she does it effortlessly. Effortlessly. Why? Why did God put that in her? Well, I'll tell you why. It was not so that Kelly Clarkson can become famous. And if Kelly Clarkson continues to sell millions of albums and continues to make a great name for herself, but never turns it and brings glory to God, she is missing her purpose in this world. Her purpose, the reason God gave her those incredible vocal cords, was to bring glory to himself. My dad is a retired military, but he is an actor. He acts as much as he can. He does small parts and big parts. And this year he had a really cool opportunity. He got a part in Steven Spielberg's latest film, Abraham Lincoln. Not to be mistook with Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, totally different. This one's based on reality, not a comic book. But my dad got a chance to play Abraham Lincoln's doctor that actually pronounces him dead. And you can see this movie, it's coming out, I think, at Christmas time or in the holiday season. And that's an amazing thing. And we get really excited when my dad gets these parts. In fact, I pray on a regular basis that my dad would get great acting roles. I pray that he would be famous. I pray that my dad gets a chance to go to the Academy Awards. But my prayer isn't that my dad would become famous for my dad's sake. My prayer is that my dad would become famous and give God glory through it. My dad, if he gets the most amazing part, if he becomes the geriatric version of Brad Pitt, no offense, Dad, if he's like becomes this amazing actor and everybody in the world knows his name, if that happens for my dad and my dad doesn't turn it around and give God glory, my dad is not living his purpose in this world. Because his purpose, he may have gifts, his gifts is acting, but his purpose is not acting. His purpose is to give God glory. There are a lot of teachers that are coming to Next Level Church. And if you're a teacher, your purpose in this world is not to get your students to pass the SOL. That's a goal. That's what you would like to happen, but that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to glorify God. So when your students get done with your classroom, they should leave there and say, that teacher loved Jesus. I may not agree with it. I may not understand it, but there was something different about that teacher from every teacher I've ever had. And whether or not they pass the SOL, that doesn't matter for eternity. What matters is, did you fulfill your purpose? Maybe you're working at the shipyard. There's a lot of people who work at the shipyard. And if that is where God has led you to work, your purpose in life is not to build ships. That's a goal. That's what you get paid for. But your purpose in life is to bring God glory in the building of ships. You should make God famous in your work. People should know that you have a God. It's the one true God, and your goal is to make Him famous at your job. If you're in the military, your goal may be to protect our country or maybe to run a squadron or do whatever else military people do. God bless them. I love them. But that might be your goal, but that's not your purpose in this world. Your purpose is to bring God glory where He has you. And so I don't know how He's gifted you, but I promise you that He's gifted you. He's given you something. He's given you a passion. He's given you a desire. He's given you an ability. And it's not for anyone else. It's for you. And if you use this to make yourself famous or to spend all your time and attention thinking about yourself, you have missed your purpose. Your purpose in life, the reason you should wake up in the morning and sing to God, is to glorify Him. That's your purpose. It's why He has you on this earth. So whether you're at a job that you love or you're at a job that you hate, your purpose is to glorify God in that job. And whether you're going to become famous one day like Kelly Clarkson or no one's going to know your name, your purpose is to glorify God. Whether you get stricken with cancer and you've only got a few weeks left to live or you live to be 105 years old, your purpose is to glorify God. Now, you need to understand that because we're about to get into the rest of Samson's life. And Samson does not fulfill his purpose. You see, just because you have a purpose in this life doesn't mean that you're going to accomplish it. Samson gets sidetracked. He goes down a path that he shouldn't be going on, and he never hits his potential. If you're familiar with the story of Samson, God gave Samson this incredible strength, and he is literally like a superhero in the Bible. Like there are multiple stories of Samson's strength, and it's just phenomenal. One time, a lion attacks him, and he breaks the lion like a farmer would break a goat. Like it wasn't hard for him at all to destroy this lion. Another time, 1,000 men attacked him, and he picks up a jawbone from a donkey, and he kills 1,000 men in battle. And then he stands over them, and he tells them that he's made donkeys out of them using a donkey's jaw. That boy is bad to the bone. Like, he is hardcore. He is strong. He has this super strength. But God didn't give him that super strength to make Samson famous. He gave him that strength to make God famous. But time after time after time, Samson gets distracted, and he never fulfills his purpose. Now, with understanding that, let's dive into the text for tonight and see what happens with Samson. It starts off by saying, one day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faced Hebron. Okay, this is an amazing story, and there's a couple of things that I want to point out to you. Number one, if the chapter of your life starts off with you saw a prostitute and slept with her, you're probably not fulfilling God's purpose for your life. I just want to throw that out there. Okay, this is not the beginning of a great biblical hero. This guy had potential. His story started in an amazing way. In fact, Samson had so much potential, he should have been the greatest man in the Old Testament. Get that? He should have been the greatest. There should have been no one that has ever lived that is greater than Samson except for Jesus. And yet, Samson continues to get distracted and he never fulfills his purpose. He sees a prostitute and his downfall is lust. Samson sees a prostitute. He's drawn to her. He goes to stay the night with her. But then something amazing happens. An army surrounds where he's at, and they plot to kill Samson. And their goal was to wait until morning, and then when Samson woke up, they were going to take him out. But for some reason, Samson wakes up in the middle of the night and he walks out past the armies and he goes to this gate. Now, you got to understand, he's in like a closed community. Like there's no way in and no way out. They've closed the doors to this thing and like there's no way. It's impossible for him to get out. But what does Samson do? I don't know if you caught it in the text. Samson pulls the gate out by his hands and pulls it, like including the poles attached to it. Now, there are many people who believe, just from doing archaeology and understanding that time period, that those gates probably weighed 8,000 pounds. I did a Google research. You know what else weighs 8,000 pounds? A semi-truck. Samson picked a semi-truck over his head, and then he didn't just put it down. He carried it up a hill. This dude is crazy strong. Like, he is ripped. Like, he is powerful. It is a supernatural gifting that God has given him. And the thing that I want to point out about this is even though Samson is in a place where he should not be, God still moved in his life. And tonight, we're going to talk a lot about your sin, and I hope that God convicts you of your sin. I hope that your story, even if it may started out that, you know, you put your name here, you started seeing a prostitute, or you were addicted to something, or you couldn't stop lying, or you were in debt up to your eyeballs, or whatever your sin is. If that's how your story is starting tonight, I hope that you find freedom. I hope that you leave that. I hope that's not how your story ends. But I want you to hear something. Despite your sin, God still uses you. This is an amazing thing. If I was writing this story, this is how it would go. Samson saw a prostitute. He stayed the night with her. God whooped up on him and killed him. End of story. Because he's not fulfilling his purpose. But what happens? For some reason, Samson wakes up in the middle of the night, walks out. He still has God's strength. He picks up these gates, and he walks out to safety. And you need to understand that God is such a gracious God that he will still use you despite your sin. He's bigger than your sin. God will still use you. In fact, the Bible says that God is slow to anger. That means he's not just up there ready to get you, ready to discipline you every time you make a mistake. He's slow to anger. He's patient with you. He wants you to get it. He wants the end of your story to be different than Samson's. He wants you to fulfill your purpose. So I need you to get, before we keep talking about sin and Samson's sin and your sin, I need you to get that God is a God of grace, and he forgives you, and he has a plan for your life. But don't mistake God's grace with the ability just to sin unlimited. Because just because we have a gracious God, it doesn't mean that he's just allowing you to get away with everything. There are consequences to our sin. And this story in Samson's life, it should have caused him to run to the arms of God and thank him for not killing him, and it should have caused Samson to go on to fulfill his purpose. But instead, Samson ends up ruining his life. Today, I just want to challenge you to know that God wants to use you despite your sin. He does. He wants to use you. He wants to still speak through you. Look at what Paul says about our sin and about the grace of God. Paul says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching in which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Now let me explain to you what Paul's saying. Paul's saying that before you knew Jesus, before you became a Christ follower, if you're not a Christ follower, then your life right now, you are a slave to sin, according to Paul. But if you are a Christ follower, you used to be a slave to sin. And what is the sign that you're a slave to something? You obey it. That's what Paul says. So here's the difference of what we're talking about. As a Christian, are you still going to sin? Yes. Are you going to sin tomorrow? Yes. Are you going to sin the next day? Yes. But the difference is sin is not your master when you are a Christian. There should be some type of conflict inside of you. You do this sin, and there should be something like, "Oh, I can't believe I did that again. God, forgive me." It should lead you to the arms of God. It should lead you to want to change, to want to be different, because you are not a slave to sin. You are a slave to God. And what is the sign that you are a slave to God? It's obedience. It's that you're obeying God. I hope that clicks with you. I hope that's making sense. Sin should not look good on you. You are going to sin. You're not perfect. But it shouldn't be like just an accessory. It shouldn't be something that's just like, "Oh yeah, I wear my sin." It should be uncomfortable. Superman, they made multiple movies of Superman, and most of them weren't very good. But there is a clip in Superman 3 where there is a scene that has kind of become iconic because it pictures Superman in just a way that is not normal, is unlike anything we've ever seen. And Superman's always been like the Boy Scout. He's always been a guy that is just, you know, always making the right decision. So this clip that I'm about to show you, it was almost shocking for its time. And I think it is a perfect picture of what I'm talking about how sin should not look good on you. Check this out.
Get through here, lady. There's something happening.
I want to see what's happening here.
Ricky! Ricky! Ricky!
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Wait, that's my deal.
I'll tell you, nobody's ever going to trust that creep. Watch out. What are you looking at?
All right, that is how sin should look on us. It does not look right for Superman to be drunk in a bar, stumbling out, yelling, "What are you looking at?" There should be something like just, it's wrong. And are you going to sin? Yes. And will God forgive you? Yes. And is God full of grace? Yes. But sin should not be your master. It should not look good on you. You need to be fighting through this, because if you don't, sin will kill you. And this is Samson's story. Let's pick up and see what happens next. So sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So here's Samson's story. Samson once again falls in love with someone that he shouldn't fall in love with. He fell in love with a Philistine woman. He'd already tried this once. If you ever read Samson's story, he got married once before to a Philistine. It ended in disaster. He should not have done this before. He should have learned from his mistake. And it's the exact same thing with us. When you know your purpose, when your purpose is to glorify God, you may have sinned yesterday, but you're learning from it. You're not in the exact same spot today. You're changing, you're moving, but Samson doesn't learn from it. He falls in love with a Philistine woman, and the Philistines come to her and they say, "Hey, find out Samson's strength so that we can kill them." So let's keep going and see what happens next. So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Now, you guys are way more mature than me, because when I read that, she tied him up with 7 fresh thongs, I giggled like a middle school like boy. But I had to do some research here, because it just was way too inappropriate to keep reading 7 thongs. And so come to find out, these 7 thongs were not like thong, 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 thong. It was a bowstring on like a bow and arrow. That's what this is, okay? So whenever we're about to read some more thongs, get out of your mind Cisco and put into your mind Robin Hood, okay? It keeps going. It says, "And the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered." Now, any one of you could read this story and know where it's going to go. Like, you don't have to know the end of the story to know that Samson's in a bad place. He's with a bad person. He should leave immediately. But Samson is not wise. In fact, the reason Samson is not wise is because he is in love with his Delilah. And here's what sin does. Sin blinds us. Sin causes us to feel that it's better than what it really is. And ultimately, sin will be your demise as well. But you cannot mess with sin. It causes you to make the stupidest decisions, and everyone around you just sees it. They say, if you keep going down this path, your life is going to end. You are going to destroy relationships. You're going to destroy your good reputation. You're going to destroy everything good that God is trying to do in your life if you don't break free from this sin. And everybody else can see it but you. Why? Because you are blinded by your Delilah. I read a great quote this week. I want to share it with you. It says, sin will always take us further than we plan to go, cost us more than we intended to pay, and keep us longer than we wanted to stay. I want to read that to you again. Sin will always take us further than we plan to go, cost us more than we intended to pay, and keep us longer than we wanted to stay. Sin should not be your master. And if there's something in your life that you are so embarrassed by, if I were to give you a microphone, you would not want to tell the rest of us, that's your sin. And you can hide it, and you might think, oh, no one's going to find out. I've been living with this sin for 20 years, for 30 years, for 50 years. I've been able to get away with it. And God, because he's gracious, has allowed you to get away with it. In fact, he's probably even still using you despite your sin. But your sin will come out eventually. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says this. Jesus says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What does that mean? That means that even if God is allowing you to have a secret sin that you've had for years, eventually it's going to come out. Eventually people are going to find out about it. Eventually it's going to ruin your reputation. It's going to ruin everything you've worked for. Sin should not be our master. And I want you, I hope as you're not feeling beat up by this, I hope that if anything, you're something's rising up in you to say, I want to fight back against this. Because your purpose is to glorify God. Don't allow sin to kill your purpose in this world. Well, let's keep going with the story and see what happens next. It says, when Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they sent him to grinding in the prison. Here's what happens. And if you're not familiar with the story of Samson, Samson tells Delilah a lie. He tells her that if she tied him with the bowstrings, it would take her strength, and it doesn't happen. And Delilah comes to him 2 other times and says, hey, don't lie to me. Tell me your strength. If you love me, you would tell me your strength. And Samson lies to her again. And he keeps lying to her, but he's never waking up to seeing that this Delilah is going to be the thing that's going to kill him. And so at one point, finally, she nags him. And the Bible says that she nags him like until he was tired to death. And she finally nagged him so bad, he just said, okay, my secret is my hair. And no one's ever cut my hair. No one's ever shaved my hair. You cut away my hair, I'm going to lose my strength. And so she goes to the Philistines and she says, hey, he's finally told me the truth. She cuts his hair. He loses his strength. And then the saddest verse, in my opinion, in the whole entire Bible happens to Samson. And I know I read a lot, so I want to make sure you get it. It's going to come back up on the screen. Look at what it says. It says, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. He did not know that the Lord had left him. He was so comfortable with his sin, he'd been living with his Delilah for so long that he didn't even know that God's presence had left him. Now, a lot of times when people draw Samson, and like whether it's a kid's Bible or like some type of comic book, they always draw him like he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and just like muscles like coming out his neck, like just muscles everywhere. But my theory is that Samson was just like you and I. Samson was just a regular guy. And God's Spirit had given him these just amazing strength. And the reason I think that is because if Samson was just all big and strong, if he had huge like muscles, when God's Spirit left him, you would think he would have noticed. He would have said, I don't look the same. I'm not strong anymore. But he was just a normal guy that God was using to do great things. And you need to let that sink in. You think to yourself, well, I'll never be a singer like Kelly Clarkson. I'll never do great things. I'll never be on TV. No one's ever going to follow me on Twitter. It doesn't matter. God has put you on this earth to do great things for his glory. And you may be an everyday average Joe, but God has wired you for a specific purpose. And you are at your job, you are with your family for a specific reason. And whether it's to be a great stay-at-home mom that doesn't just raise great kids, but raises great kids that passionately love Jesus, that's your purpose in this life. And that's a big deal. Your purpose is huge. And don't look at yourself and just say, oh, I'm nothing special. You are special. You made it, didn't you? You were born. That means God has a plan for you. But you can miss your purpose if you allow sin to reign in your life. And Samson is so blinded by his love for sin that he doesn't even see that God's presence leaves him. And God's presence leaves him, and he thinks, I'm just going to go beat up the Philistines like I always do. And instead of beating them up, they take him down. They gouge out his eyes. They put him in prison, and he's at like the salt mine, he's pushing this big wheel around. That is not the way the story was supposed to end. The story was supposed to end with Samson fulfilled his purpose. He obeyed God. He did what was right. How is your story going to end? Right now, God may be allowing you to get away with your sin. Maybe it's a secret sin that you'd be so embarrassed if even your spouse found out. But how's your story going to end? Let me tell you how your story is going to end. It's going to end one of two ways. Either you are going to find victory over your sin, or your sin is going to find you out and it is going to kill you. Those are our options. So tonight, in closing, here's what I want us to do. You were handed when you came in a little tombstone. It says RIP at the top. And this is just for you. This isn't for you to share with anyone. You don't have to, you can cover it so your neighbor doesn't even see what you write on here. But this is an all play. I want everyone to do this. This is what you're supposed to do with this. On this tombstone, I want you to write your sin. And maybe you're thinking, well, I have 87 sins. Like, I can't write them all. Well, there's a few blanks on there. Cram as many as you can on there. But for most of us, there's one thing. There's something that keeps getting us. And maybe it's gossip, or maybe it's lying, or maybe it's an addiction to something. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's our temper. There is something, and we know that's my sin. I want you to write that on that first line, whatever your sin is. And then underneath it, what I want you to do is I want you to write your action plan for how you're going to destroy your sin. It's not enough just to identify it. You've got to come up with a plan. How are you going to kill your sin? Let me give you some ideas. Maybe one idea is that tonight you find somebody and you say, hey, please don't judge me, but this is my sin and I need help. I cannot beat it on my own. Can I call you this week and just let you know, hey, this is my struggle. Will you call me? Will you give me some accountability? Will you help me overcome my sin? Or maybe for some of you, you just need to memorize a verse. And maybe you just need to quote that verse and yell that verse. The next time you get tempted, you just scream it at the top of your lungs and you resist and you resist and you resist until you overcome your sin. Or maybe for some of you, it's time that you go hardcore. And if your sin is sitting at your house right now, you burn it. You throw it away. I don't care if it's a computer. Listen to this. I have a friend who his biggest sin, his sin in life, is addiction to pornography. And so you know what? He does not own a computer. He runs his own business, and he doesn't have email. He doesn't have a website. Why? Because he wants to kill his sin. And he knows if he has a computer in his house, he is going to die because he cannot resist his sin. So whatever your sin is, you got to get buck wild crazy about it. You've got to kill this thing, or it is going to kill you. Let that sink in. Samson should have been the greatest man to ever live besides Jesus, and yet he is in prison with his eyes gouged out. So what's it going to be? Are you going to kill your sin, or is your sin going to kill you? I'm not saying this. Please hear my heart. I'm not saying this to beat you up. I'm with you. I've got my own sin. But this is going to represent our plan to overcome our sin. I'm going to give you a second to pray, because maybe some of you guys need to just talk to God and figure out what you're supposed to do. But then Brooke and Stephen are going to come, and they're going to sing a song. And maybe it's not familiar to you. It's an old school song. It's actually a hymn. And the hymn is so full of words of just, I'm broken, but yet, God, you keep coming after me. And I don't know why I'm so prone to wonder, but you're still there for me. And there's a line in the song where it says, I raise my Ebenezer. And the Ebenezer was just a stone. It was just signifying, like, God, this is what you've done in my life. And this tombstone represents your Ebenezer. Place it someplace where you can see, tonight, I'm overcoming my sin. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And yes, you're going to still fall. It may be Wednesday, it may be next month, it may be next year. This doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that you're going to do whatever it takes to keep running to the arms of God and overcome your sin. So I'm going to give you guys a few seconds to pray, and then Brooke and Stephen will lead us.
God continues to work on us and to speak. Will you stand with us and sing this? It's an act of surrendering our sin, coming to Him just as we are. Come thou fount of every blessing.
Pray with me one more time. God, we commit to you that even though we're not perfect, we are going to do everything in our power to resist sin. God, you've given us everything that we need. Give us a distaste for sin. God, help it to not look good on us. And God, I praise you in advance for the stories of freedom that are going to come from applying your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can have a seat real quick. I'm so honored to worship with you, and I love that you've made Next Level Church a priority. If this is your first time with us, I do want to say welcome to you and just let you know how you can get connected. If you're looking to get connected, there is a connection card that was in your seat, and you can just fill that out and check the boxes that represent how you want to get connected, and then we'll contact you this week and help you get connected to Next Level Church. And speaking of getting connected, there's a great opportunity tonight. Immediately following the service, it's called the meet and greet. Now, if you've registered for it, you're good to go. But if you're here tonight and you're like, hey, I'm ready to get connected, you can just show up to the meet and greet. We would love to tell you about our church and how you can get connected. It lasts 15 minutes, so you'll still be out of here in plenty of time to watch 8 p.m. programming on TV. If you'd like to give a financial gift, you can do so by filling out the envelope and putting your gift in there and then handing it to one of the ushers on the way out. Thank you guys so much for being here. I'm honored to worship God with you. Have a great week.